Well, this morning, we just want to praise God. I just want to take a minute before we get going, and let's just praise God. I mean, what happened over this last month? We had testimony after testimony after testimony. We had a knee. We had a knee healed. See, I was putting those together. Okay, we had a knee healed. That's like, this is speed preaching. You can start putting words together, and y'all got to catch up, okay? Learn how to interpret. That's a gift. All right. Thank you, Steve. Hey, you were with me. You were with me. All right. And anyway, we had a knee completely healed. We had finances turned completely around. Supernatural finances come in. We had a mom who was given a death sentence, 2 years to live, now completely healed. Amen. I mean, we had a business that in 2 weeks doubled. Glory to God. Amen. This is the things that God's doing. We had people, I heard testimonies, man, I just feel totally different. I mean, the weight that I was carrying was lifted off. Amen. These are the kind of things that we want to see all the time, and they do happen all the time to a people that are believing for them. You know, there's a scripture that says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. The word of God. Now, the context of that, that's in Romans chapter 10, okay? The content, that's Romans 10:17. But in that context, right before that scripture and right after that scripture, do you know what they're talking about? They're talking about preaching. They're saying, look, when the word is preached and you hear the word and you hear the word and you put it in, it says, when the word is preached, because you remember the verse that says, how beautiful are the people that are sent with the gospel? And then it says, but who's going to hear and believe unless they're preached to, right? And then I could go there, but then I might get on another message. But then it says this. It says, but how are they going to hear preaching unless they were sent? And how are they going to send unless somebody sends them, right? So when you give into the kingdom of God, what you're literally doing is you are giving to send the word. That word then is preached. And as that word is preached, faith builds. So when that scripture says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. The context of that, you could kind of put in parentheses, the word preached, right? So when you have a church that preaches the fullness of the things of God, then you'll start to see the fullness of the things of God. Because if you don't have, what are the things like healing, finances, people being born again? If we don't ever preach on people being born again and salvation, then will people be saved? Generally not. There won't be faith for that if it's not a gospel message, right? If you don't preach on healing, then guess what? Faith for healing won't come. If you don't preach on finances, then faith for abundance and overflow won't come. But if you have a church that'll preach those things, then faith for that will come. And when faith comes, it says this is the victory in 1 John. This is the 1 John 5:4, I believe. This is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. All right, now, overcomes the world. Well, God does some things in the world. You're a believer. You do some things in the world. Is he talking about overcoming you? Doggone it, Chris just made me mad. I need to overcome him. No, he's a believer. All right, what we need to do is, what he's talking about is the world, the corrupted world, the lack, the curse. This is the victory that overcomes the lack. This is the victory that overcomes the curse. This is the victory that overcomes the void, even our faith. So now, let me just ask you this. This is what God's put in place. It's a way. It's a way of God. You want to overcome lack? How do you do it? Our faith. Our faith will overcome that lack. But if we don't have faith or don't employ faith or apply faith, then we won't overcome that. So many people are taught, And this statement is true, but it's utilized in a wrong context. God is sovereign. And so they're waiting around. Whatever God wants to do, God will do. Well, God also said he wants everybody to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Yet we know by Scripture that won't happen. So God is sovereign. Sovereign. I love what Jesse Duplantis said. If you've ever seen him, oh my goodness, he'll make you laugh. And but he says this, yeah, God is sovereign, but in his sovereignty, he gave us a choice. He gave us a choice. And so we have this word, and then we can go and we can utilize it or not, but we don't have to. There's a whole bunch of people that will never know Jesus, even though they had this word, even though they had these things. They don't know Jesus. They won't get in here and find out the good news about them, that there was a hell that we were all going to, but Jesus said, I don't want you to go there. Good news, I'll go and take your place. I'll be the substitute. You don't have to go. But if they don't search that out or they don't listen for it, then all of a sudden what you see is they're not going to receive the free substitution, the payment for their sin in their lives, the wages of sin or death, and they'll end up paying those wages themselves, even though God's provided for it. Just like that, even though God's provided for healing, even though God's provided for the Holy Ghost to be in our lives and be baptized and filled and to pray in other tongues. Even though he's said it, he's commanded it, even though he's provided for us in our finances, even though he's provided for us in so many ways, people don't know it or they don't apply it. And many times it's because preachers aren't preaching it. But when a preacher will preach the things of God, the fullness of the gospel, right? And I'm going to show you, you can turn to Romans 15. But when a preacher will preach the fullness of the gospel, then all of a sudden you'll start to see what's going to happen when the word's preached. Faith comes. And what's going to happen with that faith? That person then has the ability to take that faith that's been built up, apply it to the curse, apply it to the void, and overcome that void, overcome that curse. But a lot of times we don't see it. This is what I was saying earlier. You know, in here, we're seeing those things. Why? Because we're preaching that way, we're believing that way, and we will see the things of God, because God is not a man that he can lie. He's a good God. He's a good father. He's a good daddy. He wants the best for his children just like you do. I think it's Luke 11 talks about receiving the Holy Ghost, and he makes this statement. I love this. He said, look, if you being evil, you know, I don't like being called evil, but he was talking about me and you and everybody else, you know. In other words, what he's saying, your righteousness alone, not what God made you, but your righteousness without God, compared to God's, it's evil. Like it doesn't even compare. But then in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, look, if you'll believe on Jesus, I'll make you a new creation. And I'll take my righteousness, the righteousness of God in Christ, and I'll turn you into that righteousness. Yeah. Praise God. So then he takes us from being dirty, filthy rags, a sinner. He saves us by grace. See, once you're saved by grace, you're not the sinner anymore. Right. That's what you were, but now you're saved by grace. There's a second chapter, praise God. Yeah. And then we're made the righteousness of God in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, 21. Read all the way 17 through 21. Well, then all of a sudden, we start stepping into stuff. He says then, though, without Jesus and your ways, he said, you then being evil, if you know how when your son asks you for an egg, you don't give him a scorpion. You know, or a serpent. He asks you for a fish, you don't give him a serpent. If you know not to do that to your own kid, like, you're evil and know that.
Right.
Compared to me, you're evil and know that. How much more will the Father give to you when you ask?
Right.
He says, look, I'm letting you know right now, when you ask, and he says it in the Old Testament like this, he's not withholding any good thing.
Right.
From those who walk uprightly. He's not withholding anything. I watch people, not too long ago, I saw a preacher, like, what do you do when God withholds something good? I'm thinking, well, it tells me I'm not walking righteously. If there's a good being withheld, I'm not walking righteously, or else there's a plan in place to get it to me, and I'm on the way, I'm receiving it as I walk. You see, why? Because he makes a promise. He's not withholding any good thing. Well, what does that do? That puts the responsibility back on our shoulders, which is where it should be. Why? God did his part. Anybody ever played chess or checkers? You know, I was raised and I grew up playing chess, and then Nicole and I started dating, and I was like, yeah, I got, you know, I played chess some. She was like, you want to play checkers? I'm like, please, I play chess. I didn't know she grew up playing checkers. And although it may sound like checkers is completely simple, there's a few things if you ain't played. So she grew up playing checkers. I didn't. I grew up playing chess. Man, I realized we were about five moves in. I was like, uh-oh. I don't want to lose. I don't like this. She was like, tick, 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 tick. I was like, no, stop doing that. Don't be jumping my men. I don't like that. I was like, oh, man. I had to get serious. I think she beat me, though. But you notice in those games, there's two parts to play. One player has one part, then the other player has the other part. Right. Now, once she makes her move, she doesn't get to move again. It's my move. Yeah. God's made his move.
Right. Yeah.
God's made his move.
Amen.
It's our move now.
Yes.
Jesus went. He did everything he needed to do. He got up on that cross. He paid the price, and he said this. It's finished. My move's done. He said, now go therefore. Go. It's our move. It's our move. All right, look at this. Romans chapter 15. This is so much not my message, but it'd be all right. Amen. Romans chapter 15. And look at verse 18. I want you to see, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? Let's define it. Let's define it. You keep your place there. I want them to put up on the screen Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. So you just watch on the screen. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. I'm getting there. It says this, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. So scripture saw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached what? The gospel. Beforehand to Abraham, saying, all right, what he's about to say is the gospel preached. All the nations will be blessed in you. All the nations will be blessed in you. So then those, verse 9, so then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. You realize faith, you're given a measure of faith, Romans says. It doesn't cost you anything. God paid the price and made the move. Our move is simply a decision.
Right.
It doesn't cost us anything. It's not by works. It's by grace,
right,
through faith. In other words, all we have to do is say, I'm going to utilize my faith. And he says, when you utilize your faith, I want you to see the gospel defined very simply in this verse. It is good news to every person. And the people, the gospel is this, you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed through that faith.
Yes.
You'll be blessed.
Yes.
That's the gospel. He preached the good news. Did I make that up or was it in there?
It's in there.
I didn't write that. The Holy Ghost wrote that. This is the gospel. A lot of people think that the gospel is very hard. No, it's good news for all people. Remember the angel in Luke chapter 2. He says, look, I bring you good news of great joy for all the world. For all the world. God's not upset with all the world with whom he's pleased. Mankind with whom he's pleased. It's good news for everybody. That doesn't mean that then once he made his move, that we made the right move, right? But it's important for us to know that we have a move to make based off of what he did, and the gospel lays out what he did so that we can apply faith to the things that he did and overcome the void, overcome the lack. So now go back to Romans 15 and verse 18. Now this is Paul. And he says this, verse 18, for I will not presume to speak anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed. All right, so now I want you to see a couple of things. I presume not to speak. In other words, I'm not going to get up in front of people and preach and speak anything except what Christ has accomplished.
Yes.
So what he's about to give you in the next verse has to do with what Christ has accomplished. And he said, when I do speak these things, all of a sudden there's manifestation in the people. There's a manifestation in the people. And it says it turns them around in word and deed. They start becoming obedient to Christ in their word and in their action. In other words, what I preached worked.
Right.
Now watch, verse 19. And what did he preach? In the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem, round about as far as that I city, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ. Now I want you to see, how did he define the gospel of Christ? Over in Galatians, it says it's a blessing. Right here, it says it's power. It is power. This is the good news. It is power. It's power. In signs, wonders, this is not before Jesus. This is not during Jesus. This is after Jesus. In other words, this is what the church is supposed to be preaching. Let me ask you something. If I get up here and I preach and I say that it's not a blessing, that it's hard, that you're just, God hates you, stuff like that, it's not good news, it's not a blessing, and if I don't bring power and I don't move in the signs and wonders, have I, according to the Bible, have I preached the fullness of the gospel? No. But when you preach the promises of God like this, faith rises. And when faith rises, the people will say, oh, my part, my turn, it's my turn now. I apply that faith to that void, to that curse. And then God says, and when you do that, this is the victory that will overcome that void, that obstacle, that problem, even our faith. What we have to have is we have to know what God has preached. What is he saying? What is he saying to his people? He's saying, I want you blessed. I want you blessed in the city. I want you blessed in the field. I want you to be above and not beneath. I want you to be the lender and not the borrower. Blessed going in, blessed coming out. This is the gospel. He says, I've healed you. By his stripes, we not are going to be healed. We were healed. He sent his word and healed us. Right? The word tells us that. He says that it pleases God and he gives us the power to get well. What are these things? These are supernatural things in a natural world based off of the gospel, based off of the blessing of God. And when we start to see that and we hear preaching about it, all of a sudden faith will start to grow and rise up in us and we'll grab a hold of that faith and say, I'm going to take and go do my part with that faith. Lord, I believe you. I believe you. Now, I don't know about you, but I've sought to use my faith before. And sought to use my faith and put it out there, and seemed like nothing happened. I know y'all have never had that experience, but maybe somebody will be listening to this in the future online. But I've sought, and you have to say, okay, I tried that. Well, the word says this, if you apply faith, it works. It works. So then what we like to do as people that have a flesh that's corrupted, what we like to do is we like to make excuses. We don't like taking responsibility, which is why we're fine. God, just handle it. Jesus, take the wee. I get it. If you've got no power whatsoever, like I need, if you don't come through and do something supernatural, but that's not where we're supposed to live. He's calling us to live as overcomers, more than conquerors, as always victorious. The word says, 2 Corinthians, he says, but thanks be unto God, who's always leading you in triumph, always, and manifesting through you the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. Please put that up there. 2 Corinthians 2:14. He's saying in 1 Corinthians 10:13, I will not allow you to enter into a situation that you and I can't handle. But God says, I'm faithful, and I will provide a way of escape for you. I will. So see, we've got to understand, listen, when the devil came into the world, you can see it in Revelation, four different places very clearly. Chapter 12, I think chapter 21, maybe chapter 20. Every time the devil comes and goes out of the world, he takes one thing with him. His one weapon. Jesus said this, all power and authority is given unto me. Go therefore. In other words, Jesus said, I got it all.
Right.
Well, how much is left for slew foot devil? None. So then how does he do what he does? Deception. His one weapon is deception. We're walking in authority. We got authority given to us by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then the devil comes up and he tries to tell you, nope, you're sick. Nope, you got lack in your life. Nope, you tried that faith stuff. It just didn't work. And then you throw your hands up and by your own authority, give your authority away. Walk in a lie and not the truth. Faith is things that because we have a corrupted flesh, sometimes because we've got some things that we don't quite understand or we don't have it all worked out, faith is something that sometimes we got to press through. And having done all, stand. He knew we were going to have to stand. That's why he said that. And he knew, don't get weary in well-doing. Why would God say that? Because he knew we'd be in well-doing, and all of a sudden we'd be like, man, this stinks.
Right.
I just feel worn down.
Right.
And all of a sudden we feel weary. God knew all that stuff. He gave us the promises. Here's what happens, though. We get into the middle of a press, and what we've filled up with is not God and his promises. Then all of a sudden, we get into the middle of the press. What have we filled up with? Well, generally, it's like, for us, it's whatever everybody wrote on Facebook that week. Well, I just got this problem. I take two steps forward and one step back. Everything, every time I get ahead, there's a storm coming. Oh, God, why did you let this storm come? Why didn't we stand up against it?
Yeah.
Anybody here damaged by the storm? Ain't that something?
Amen.
Now I'm serious.
Yeah.
I'm serious. This whole area was hit up and down this road. There wasn't any damage here. You know why? Because when you start to learn how to apply faith and do that, we just said at home very simply, we were in the kitchen, this stuff was coming up. We said, no, Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus. Your word says by promise. See, when you get in the press, what comes out of you? See, if what comes out of you is I just can't get ahead for losing, you know, I can't win for losing. If that's what comes out of you, that's what your authority is going to empower. But if when you get in the press and here comes the storm, oh, there's storm warnings all afternoon, and in the press, what comes out of you is no evil shall befall me. No plague will come near my dwelling. Every fiery dart will be quenched because you've had preaching and that preaching has produced a faith. Then all of a sudden what's going to happen is the word of God is going to back your authority and it's going to do that. Can't tell you how many times. Does it mean that the devil doesn't try? And it doesn't mean that sometimes I've missed it. Oh, I've missed it. I've missed it. But you've got to understand that even if you miss it, that doesn't make God a liar.
Right.
It means that, hey, I might have something I got to work on.
Yeah.
But see, human nature in the flesh doesn't like taking responsibility for that. So it's like, well, here's what many ministers have now created an experiential doctrine. Well, I prayed for that in faith and it didn't happen. So must be that God didn't want it to. That is not what that Bible says. Does anybody need this today?
Yeah.
Anybody? A strengthening of your faith?
Yeah.
I absolutely, this is not my notes. Nicole saw my notes ahead of time. I hadn't hit one of those scriptures yet. But see, this is what we got to understand. We got to be diligent. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible to please God. For those that come to Him must believe, must believe, must believe, must believe, must believe, must believe, believe, must believe, must believe, must believe that He is. Now what's that talking about? You remember when God said, I am Jehovah Jireh. He said, I am that I am. To Abraham, He said, I'm Jehovah Jireh. To Moses, He said, I am that I am. What's He saying? He's saying, you got Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Shalom. You've got all of these things. You've got Jehovah Rapha, our healer, our peace, our righteousness, our banner. God's saying this, whatever you need me to be in the blessing, He said, I am it.
Yeah.
I'm it. So when in Hebrews 11:6, He goes back and He says, put that up please. Hebrews 11:6, He said, those must believe that He is. But notice how He kicks it off without faith. It's impossible to please Him. In Romans, it says anything with lack of faith is sin. It's sin. Faith is taking trust in God. And faith is an action word. It's not just like, okay, I understand it in my head. No, I got to take action on that thing. I got to confess the word. I got to stand, and having done, I'll stand. But so we've got to not just be sitting there like, God, if you'll do something, please. No, you've got, when you come under the press, you've got to learn how to stand up to it.
Right.
Stand up to it. And when you get under the press, what you put in is what comes out. If it's not the word, then when you try to stand in faith, you've got no backing. If you can see the shield of faith that quenches every fiery dart, you know, people have a shield of faith. This is something built in. But the question is the shield of faith backed by the power of God's eternal word? Because you can have a shield. You know, I can have a shield here. Let's not use that. Give me something, anything. Just that envelope. I was like, not a pocketbook. Let's say that this is my shield of faith. I mean, it protects, I don't know how a pocketbook, I guess it protects your belongings, but it doesn't protect me sometimes when she goes to the store. Amen. I love you. I love the joy of the Lord. We're not supposed to be bitter and no life in us. We're supposed to have life. Let's say this is a shield, right? Now watch this. If this shield, everybody's got a shield. You got stuff you believe in that's not based on the word. But you believe in it. It's a shield. It'll pop up. If I started to tell you some far-fetched story, your shield of faith would be like, what is he talking about, Willis? You know, like that don't even make sense to me. All of a sudden you'd be like, I don't know what he's talking about. And that's your shield of faith at work. But God designed that thing so that when you back it and it's supported by Scripture, no fiery dart can get through. And so you can have, imagine a shield made out of wood and there's planks, right? Hand me another envelope. Boom, right here. Thank you, thank you. All right, let's say that this is a plank of healing and this is a plank of finances. See, I can preach and I can build you up preaching because as I preach the word, your faith is built and it's back, right? But let's say this is healing and this is finances. But let's say there's another plank right here. Anybody got another one? Hallelujah. Envelopes. Amen. Let's say we got another one right here, and this is protection. Right? This is protection. Oh, let's say your preacher, he loves to preach on healing. You're probably going to be backed by the word there. And just because he preaches on healing doesn't mean that you receive it. But if you receive it, but let's say on finances, he likes preaching on finance, that's going to be back. But let's say he never preaches on protection. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. So you might have a shield there. You know that God is a protector, but you don't know that every fiery dart is supposed to be quenched. You don't know that you are kept from the evil one, that no evil will befall you, no plague will come near your dwelling. You don't know these things, and so what's going to happen? Like if you fire a dart, it's just like this. This is such a good example. Fire a dart there at healing. Nope, it stopped. Fire a dart at provision. Nope, it stopped. Fire a dart protection. See, and it goes right through. Isn't that good? See, you've got to have preaching on it. You've got to have these things. But see, we've got to do something with it. We can't just leave it there. We've got to do something with it. We've got to take that faith and say, I'm going to apply it. We've got to feed that faith. We've got to put the word in. We've got to put these things into us so that when the devil fires it, see, he's not going to stop firing darts. God didn't say that. He said he's going to fire darts in John 17. He said he's going to fire darts. He said, you're in the world, and it's a corrupted world. I'm not going to take you out of the world, but I will keep you from the evil one. And see, when you hear that kind of word with an anointing, all of a sudden the anointing will drop that faith inside of you, and then you say, hey, that's mine. That's mine. You know, we over Kickstart, we made those confessions. That's according to word. He says, I believed, and therefore I spoke. Over in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, you know, meditate on this law day and night. You know, keep these words in your mouth. Meditate on it. Meditate means to murmur it, to speak these words. When I say, no, I am kept from the evil one, every fiery dart will be quenched. Then when some death storm tries to come up, we don't end up like the disciples getting rebuked by Jesus for our little faith. We get up to the storm and say, nope. Peace be still. You will not touch the attenders of Boomerang. You will not touch. The blood of Jesus covers. The blood of Jesus protects. And then we don't hold it up like, oh, look at us. We're super Christian. No, like we did it on by ourselves. No, how did we do that? We did that through Jesus, through his word. It was his power. It was his grace. If somebody missed it and they didn't walk in that, then we're there to give mercy. We're there to lift them up. We're there to give them a hand up. We're not there to beat them up. We're there to be a support to everyone. We're there. Listen, the word tells us like this. When you start walking in the light, you start becoming a beacon to the people around you, a beacon of hope. You mean we can walk in protection like that? Yes! That's what we've been living it for. That's what we've been living it for. That's what we've been living it for. We don't. It's not just for us. It's to preach. How do I know that? The word says this. You've got to be ready to give an account for the hope that's within you. The hope. In other words, when I start walking around and I know that God is going to be on our side, I know that God is going to protect our people. I know that the blood of the Lamb is stronger than some tornado. I know that the blood of Jesus Christ is stronger than a cold, than the flu, than this, than that. When I know that the blood of the Lamb is stronger than my financial mistakes in the past, well, I know that the blood of the Lamb is stronger than my sin, something happens on the inside of me. There's a hope that rises up. And let me tell you, you've got to be able to give an account for the hope that's within you. That means people are going to be asking. When the light of God and the glory of God starts to rise on you, he says, let that glory shine. Arise, shine. For your light has come. Let the glory of Jesus Christ, the glory of his blessings, the glory of his promises rise up inside of you. And all of a sudden, listen, it's gonna make some people mad. Why? Because it not only shines the light on the devil, it shines the light on responsibility. And the Bible clearly says some people, when you operate like this, and this happened with Jesus. When you operate like this, some people are going to really want to be around you, which is why we say, you know, some people, three groups, this is biblical, you know, some people love us. But then it says, some people, you're going to be a stench of death to them because they're not going to receive the promise, and some people are going to hate you. Like what Teddy was saying the other day, don't be mad at a sinner because he sins. That's what he's going to do. Don't be mad at somebody who's chosen not to believe. That's what they're going to do. Just realize not everybody's going to accept the message. Praise God, we don't have to go to a cross for it like Jesus did. He had the best message ever, never sinned, and they killed him. Yeah, we have persecution, but it's not that. It's not like that. They may talk, they may make fun. But I'm an overcomer in Christ. We are called. We have a plan. We have a purpose. We have a glory that's being dished out. And our glory, the glory of God, grows in us from glory to glory to glory. God is raising you up. People, God is raising you up. He's raising you up to be a beacon of hope in a world that needs hope. But we've got to do something with our faith, and we've got to get around people that'll preach that word.
Amen.
Now for my message this morning. That was free. Some people don't know if I'm joking or not. I'm just going to tell you this. The title of the message this morning was supposed to be Every Joint Supplying. And this goes in with everything I just said. The word says this. He says that we're made up of many different parts. Many different parts. He said, and every joint supplies. He says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, he set in the church apostles, prophets, and then he lists several gifts, gifts of healing, gifts of help. We have many different joints that supply. In Ephesians 4, Jesus said this. He said, when I ascended up to heaven, I gave gifts to men, gifts. And then in verse 11, he defines those gifts. These are what God defines by the Holy Spirit as gifts to men. Well, some people call it the fivefold ministry, but a technical description would be the ascension gifts. When he ascended, he gave gifts. He said apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. In a body like this, God places gifts. I'm not just talking about the gifts are not just apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. He gives gifts of administration. He gives gifts of help. He gives different people with different voices. I think it's 1 Corinthians 4. Yep. 1 Corinthians 4:15 says this. Let me read it to you. 1 Corinthians 4:15. For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father Through the gospel. Through the gospel. Now I want you to see, when you have somebody that you are called to in a church where you're planted in, you can have, by the Bible's description, you can have fathers of the faith. That's scriptural. All right. And he says this, who's going to be ones that will be a father to you? It's ones that preach the gospel in fullness. Can you see how this blends? Isn't the Holy Ghost good? They preach the gospel. And you see, if they're getting up and they're not preaching a good news and they're not preaching the power of God and the anointing of God and they're not preaching, you know, deliverance from everything that would bind and a freedom in that way, and you're not seeing, see, if you're, the gospel is preached correctly, signs follow.
Right.
If you're not seeing the miracles, if you're not seeing the people saved, you know, last year I told you we had over 2,590 people committed to Christ last year. 2,590. The average church is less than two.
Right.
A year. If you're not seeing people, this is the markers and the fruit of a church that's doing what they should, and a believer. They're winning souls. They're making disciples with revelation. They're getting revelation, and they're flowing in the power of God. They're seeing miracles. They're seeing healing. These are all fruit that the Bible lays out is biblical fruit for a church and for a believer. But we've been making excuses for it many times in the past, but the time has come not to play games anymore. There's a time to arise and shine, for your glory has come, and it is time to put on the glory of God and walk it out to be the hope that God's called us to be. So you will be planted in a place. God has a place for every person in the body. You'll be planted in a place, and in that place, there will be the gospel preached, and all of a sudden, you will see the fruit of God start to come out in that place. Lives will be changed. Things will happen. It's like you're birthed into something new.
Right.
You know, many of you, the first time you stepped into Boomerang, many times I've heard this testimony. It's like, I've never heard this stuff. I've been in church all my life. Even if I heard it, I've not walked in it. See, we're not talking about just pastor praying over
right.
people. The Word says, Mark 16, those that believe
yes.
will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. This, you know, Sunday morning is basically just an empowerment for you to fulfill the mission that God has for you, for me to give you the pieces of the gospel so that faith will rise. I'm just anointed by God to give you the pieces for Jesus to flow through you. To flow through you. And my job is to get it to you and to demonstrate it so that when you step out those doors, you just do what I did. You just move in that. Your faith grows. It builds. You pray for people and see them delivered. All of a sudden, when you start flowing in that, now that church is doing what it should do. They should be winning souls. They should be in the Word and getting revelation on their own. They should be walking in the power of God. This is the fullness of the gospel. He says, when you have that kind of place, he says, you probably have a father, a spiritual father. I'm not talking about the father. I'm talking about a spiritual father. And he says, but listen, although you have a spiritual father, you don't have many of those. These are connections that God has made, a spiritual father. And this is how anointing flows. This is a covering. This is how a revelation flows. This is how the glory. God's designed it to be that way. You don't have many of those. But I want you to see the other part of that. He says, although you may have a number of teachers or tutors. In other words, you're not just supposed to have one voice in that way. If I got up here as a pastor and I just started preaching, and I was preaching every week, but I never allowed any other voice to come in. If I never allowed any other voice to come in, then what would happen? I would move to the place where I would actually hold back from you what you need to receive.
Right.
Because whereas I may say something one way, Nicole may say it a different way.
Right.
Where I may say it one way, Nicole may say it a different way. Know that God will provide no matter where you are, what you have, or what you may face. Well, if you face lack, if you face the curse, what were we preaching about? If you find yourself in a position where the curse is there and lack is there and there's a void, God will provide. So you may receive from me very, very well. But here's the other issue. There might be something that I'm not gifted in quite as much, but that gifting is also in this body. When you find yourself, you'll find yourself in a place where it's like, I need to hear the passion that Nicole preaches with. I need to hear a strength and a belief like Paul preaches with or like Barrett preaches with. I need those words. I need those voices. That's why I don't want to do the offering all the time. It's why I don't want to preach. It's why I'll bring in people like Teddy, like we just had. I'll bring in Pastor Tracy. You have different voices. Look, I may be in Boomerang. I may be like that spiritual father, and that voice is so very important. It's a covenant connection of God. But if I never let any other voice there, then it would not be very well-rounded. It has to be well-rounded. Right. So over these next few weeks, you're going to hear from different people. You're going to hear these things. This is what I want you to get. I want you to see. You know what? Have you ever been and heard multiple people minister or preach, and you're like, they're my favorite. They're my favorite. I have. I was like, I like them. I got a lot out of them. I didn't get anything out of that person, but I like that person. But see, God knows what you need to hear.
Yep, yeah.
He ordains a service, and this is what I found. One time I was in a meeting, and somebody got up to preach, and I'm like, I don't even know if I like that person.
Yeah.
It was a lady. Which that wasn't an issue for me, but she was like, seemed to me she was emotional, and it seemed to me that she was, you know, all over the place and everything. And I was just like, you know, in my spiritual thinking maturity, but it was really immaturity. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I don't even think I like her. I know y'all have never been there, but I was there. And I was like, I was sitting there, and I was kind of talking to the Lord about it. You know, I was that mature. Lord, why do you have me here? I just, as a point of reference, God usually doesn't respond well to that, just so you know. And he's like, this lady's anointed. Okay. He said, if you'd pay attention, you might learn something. Rebuke received. Amen. and I said, he said, actually, what he said was not just receive. He said, if you need to connect with her. I've called you to connect with her. Awesome. But I've learned to be obedient. And so what I did is I told Nicole, I said, hey, the Lord just told us to connect with this person. And I've learned by this time, I've learned, you know, if God says, I just need to listen. Don't fight that anymore. I know what he was saying to me. And I said, here's what we're going to do. Right now, we're going to start sowing into their ministry every month, just right now. And that was the best way I knew how to connect. You know, if you can give money to somebody, that really helps your attitude. And so we started sowing into their ministry. Man, it was the most amazing thing. It wasn't just the sowing, it was the heart change, you see. And all of a sudden, next time she got up there, man, I just started receiving every time. I'm to the place now, this has been, I don't know, 10 years ago or so. Now, every time I see her, I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun. I have no idea what she's going to do. But it's going to be fun. And I'm going to receive something. I would feel the Holy Ghost moving almost more in her meetings than almost anybody else. And I was the one sitting there like, I don't feel nothing, you know. And see, we've got to learn that even though we think we know what we need, even though we think we know what we need, Even though we think we know what we need, humility says, God, what do I need? What do I need? So many of you know, as soon as, literally, if I don't walk out of this building in about 15 minutes, I'm going to miss an airplane flight. But many of you know I'm getting ready to head over to Africa, and I'm going to be gone. Some of you don't. I'm going to be gone for 3 weeks, three Sundays. Well, that is not my norm. But when I started praying about that, I said, Lord, I said, what do you want to do during this period of time? Like, I'm a pastor. Like, the church is in Albemarle. I'm going to be across the world in Africa. 2 weeks in Gabon, a week and a half in Nigeria. I'll be ministering and being ministered to. And the first week we're preaching at a minister's conference all week long. Y'all know Stephen Hurlburt. He's going with me. I asked him to go and help, and he's going to get to minister too. So I need your prayers, first of all. But here's the other thing. I said, Lord, what do you want to do about Sunday? And he said, every joint supplies. Amen. Now I want you to hear this. The Lord said to me, I believe with all clarity, I don't have any doubt about this. The Lord said, every joint supplies. I want Barrett to preach, I want Paul to preach, and I want Nicole to preach. Because, and this is the understanding that he gave me, they have a word in their spirit that the body needs to hear. And they don't need to hear it from you, they need to hear it from them. Now, what's our job as a body? Our job as a body is this. Oh, God has said something, God has spoke something. And although Pastor Brian may be my favorite preacher, I mean, I know I'm not all the time to everybody. I get that. I get that. I saw how you lit up when Teddy came in here. I get it. No, but listen, we need the different voices. We need the different supply. Nicole will engage things in you that I don't engage the same way. She'll activate things. Paul will draw out things in the Word that I don't do the same way. And we need that balance. Barrett will bring out things and a passion that you need to hear from her in that way. The Lord specifically said these things and these people. And this is what I want you to understand is we need that supply. We need that supply. Now, this is have they arrived? Well, no. Have I arrived? No. No, I miss some stuff, a lot, more than I want to tell you about. Nicole could tell you most of it, but does it mean that they've arrived? No, but I do want to tell you this. They've not arrived, just like you haven't and I haven't. But here's what I have seen. I've seen them put down the flesh and grow in the things of God, and God said they have a word. They have a word for you. I don't know what they're going to preach exactly. I haven't gone over that. I trust the Holy Ghost to give that to you and to give it to them. But here's what I do know. You have a need to hear what they're going to say. And our responsibility as a body is to say, I'm going to walk in there just like it's every other day. I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to be ready for the word. What they're going to bring, I need to hear it. I need to hear it. I don't need to hear it online. I need to hear it in the seat. I need to hear it in the seat. I need to be there. And here's the other thing. We need to get excited for that. What is that that Paul's going to preach? What is it that Barrett's going to preach? What is it that God's going to tell them to bring? What is it that Nicole's going to bring when she comes and brings the word? What are those things? And I'm telling you, we need it. God only knows what that it is. Because here's the thing. It'll probably be different things for each one of us. But you get yourself ready. Meditate on it. As you go into this next week, you start praying. You start believing. You start saying, Lord, give that word to them. Lord, I need something they're going to say. I need something they're going to say. I need something they're going to say. Lord, prepare my heart. Let the soil of my heart be so fertile that when they speak the word of faith, that seed will plant and eternity will rise up inside of me. Amen. Amen. Amen.